Everyone, welcome back to Milkshakes Markets Madness. For everyone in our Spanish community, be sure to check us out at Milkshakes Pod Español for Batidos Mercados Locura. Anyone who's not familiar, we just launched the Spanish channel, so we're having some fun with that. Go check out those videos. Let us know what you think about Brent and I's Spanish accents. But if you're new to this channel and you speak English and you still know what the heck we're talking about, you can learn more on our YouTube channel. At the top, there is a playlist that says start here. It'll take you down kind of that dollar milkshake rabbit hole, get you a little more caught up on, generally speaking, our overview and thoughts on how the market operates, the global financial system, which certainly drives our views in these conversations. This is our Monday peak of the week. While you're on the YouTube channel, you'll see that we do individual unique segments, each with its own objective, each with its own thumbnail. So if there's any particular conversation you enjoy the most, you can focus just on that and binge that type of content. So Brad, we talked a little bit about this in the Sunday full-length episode. This past week, we saw a maybe war driven out of the Middle East bid for bonds. Some of that had to do with a very a dovish type of tone from a number of Fed officials after the Fed chose to not raise the overnight lending rate the week prior. The response to that wasn't really good for bonds. We then had later in the week kind of a sell-off because the CPI inflation data came in a little more hawkish, meaning a little more potentially on the side of longer and hotter inflation. And now we are heading into a week after last week being full of ups and downs and uncertainties and war premiums and risk-off bids. We're now going into a week that's pretty much dominated by housing market data. There's plenty of Q3 earnings coming out, which will be interesting. But I think the two factors worth highlighting in this conversation are some of the retail sales, or I guess specifically that there's retail sales data, which can underline or reinforce some of that CPI information. But mainly, it's just it almost feels like a world tour festival for the Fed speakers this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think every day there's a Fed speaker coming out. So it's going to be, I mean, you just never know how these things are going to go. To me, it's pretty funny because, what was it, 3 or 4 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago now, we had the Fed meeting, and they were decidedly more hawkish than the market expected. And they could not, in my opinion, have been any more hawkish without actually raising rates, especially the fact that they moved the dots and took away the rate cut expectations for next year. I think the market has been trying to come to terms with that changing of the dot plot for the last 3 weeks. And so then the Fed minutes came out, and the Fed minutes didn't really say anything differently, but you had a bunch of Fed speakers or Fed talk or interviews given where they kind of sounded more dovish, right? And I just wonder if they do this stuff just to mess with people, because there's almost no consistency to it. It's like they'll say one thing and then somebody else says the exact opposite. And so I'm really curious to see if there's kind of a united front this coming week from Fed speak. I'm curious if they are all going to be on the same page, or if they are all going to be kind of at cross purposes, and even if they are all on the same page, if they're all saying dovish or if they're all saying hawkish. Because I'll say that, you know, I've been in the higher for longer camp, and I've been saying that I expect them to raise. I thought that they would raise last time. I thought they would be more hawkish, and I thought they would raise. It turned out they didn't raise, but they were extremely hawkish. And I've been in the camp that they will probably raise one more time. I'm starting to pull back from that a little bit. I haven't totally made up my mind yet, but I'm not as strongly in the camp that says they will raise one more time as I was maybe a couple of weeks ago. But part of it is because of the comments, right? So I'll have to wait and see what they say this week. But this week is really about the Fed and the Middle East, in my opinion.
Well, we have talked about in a previous Monday peak of the week the animal spirits and how the Fed is trying to combat that. They have been trying to combat that ever since they've gone on a rate hiking cycle. And the idea of animal spirits just kind of being this market-driven emotion, the euphoria that kind of tries to front-run Fed policy. And historically, what they've always done, eventually, on a rate hiking cycle, once there's recession or pullback, they go into, you know, a more accommodative, sometimes overeasing policy stance. So markets have just been trying to be ahead of that all year round. And when the Fed looks at whatever they're looking at, maybe just the accumulation of data locally and on the macro front, they decide to pause, knowing that just the decision to do that could fuel those flames and stoke those animal spirits. So what do? They come out, they change the dot plot, they talk extremely hawkish about, hey, we might be doing, don't get too excited. We could be doing a hike in October to really kind of take the mojo out of the market. And it worked. And so to your point, maybe they're like, ooh, maybe we were a little too harsh on them. And they came back with more of a dovish tone. So it will be interesting, as you mentioned, to see, are they more coordinated? Are they trying to massage the market a certain type of way? And man, we have said so many times the fact that markets have come to the point where we're trying to, you know, guess what the Fed lyrics are going to be is a little silly.
Yeah. And, you know, listen, at the end of the day, we've said many times, these people are not necessarily the smartest people in the room. You know, I don't think they're as stupid as a lot of people think that they are, but these are not infallible people. Let's just leave it at that. And like anybody, you know, they don't want to be wrong, and they want to be able to refer to previous comments that they said as being accurate. And just like you and I are trying to figure out, you know, what does the impact of these events in the Middle East mean for markets? They're trying to figure that out too. So it could be that, you know, they had the opportunity to, you know, they're speaking last week at various, you know, conferences or giving interviews or whatever it is, and they've got a potential war flaring up in the Middle East. Maybe that's their way to just, you know, manage the soft landing, right? Maybe they can, I can say it's something a little dovish. I'm not held to it. And maybe that provides a little lift to the markets that, you know, will sort of counteract some kind of an invasion of Gaza or something. So, you know, I think that's part of it. So that's why I think this next week will be really interesting. We're going to have more news on what's going on with the Middle East, what's going on with Israel and Hamas and Saudi Arabia and, you know, the Iran. And so, you know, maybe last week was about them just giving a little bit of lift to the market. Maybe this week it'll be a little bit more. I don't want to say that last week wasn't serious, but maybe with all the speeches this week, it'll be a little bit more market driven as opposed to geopolitically driven, or maybe the opposite, right? Maybe things have really broken out in the Middle East in a bad way on Monday and Tuesday. And, you know, the Fed speakers say, you know, in light of recent events, this is data dependent. And as of right now, you know, maybe we're done. I mean, again, this is kind of why you have to wait and play the game. You just don't know what the moves are going to be.
Well, I definitely encourage everyone to check out this weekend's episode, because I think we did spend a good amount of time talking about the market reaction to these types of things and how that can, just like animal spirits reacting to the Fed, there's kind of this risk-off overreaction. We put a lot of emphasis on gold. I thought you sharing a lot of great insight as to why you like it and where you felt the recent price action maybe has gone a little bit too far. So please, everyone, check that out. I think you will like that. But to give you some context on what we're talking about here in terms of the busy schedule or busy Fed calendar, Monday we have a speaker, a Fed, Patrick Harker speaks. Tuesday we have three Fed speakers. Wednesday we have two. And then on Thursday we have four, in addition to Jerome Powell speaking. So five in total. And then Friday, one more. So it's really is kind of a world tour.
Now, on the top circus of that, is coming to town.
It is coming to town. And we have a bunch of quarterly earnings. I'm sorry. Q3 earnings from, you know, Tesla's, for example, Netflix, but a bunch of banks, Bank of America, Goldman, Bank of New York Mellon, Morgan Stanley. I mean, they're not all banks, but you get the point. They fall into that category. And then a bunch of housing information. We've got existing home sales. We've got a housing market index from the home builders. They're always kind of a big driver of expectations of where the housing market is headed. And you have permits and some other stuff related to the housing market, like housing starts. So it's definitely going to be an interesting week. Now, Brett, is there anything that you're focused on the most in terms of where you think, in the broader sense, you know, this is going to drive Fed policy? Do you think the Fed is in a reaction phase? Do you think they've kind of made their decision and they're just trying to keep, you know, the everything glued together amidst some of this Middle East chaos.
No, I mean, I think that they, I don't think their decision has been made. But when I say that, I also don't think that that means that necessarily that they're not going to hike. Like, I actually think that they want to hike one more time, but I don't, I think I mentioned that I'm not as in that camp as I have previously been, but a lot of that's based on what's going on in the Middle East and based on their comments last week. Even if they don't hike again, I do not expect them, unless the market forces them to. And again, in other words, unless there's a massive drawdown that causes all kinds of market chaos, I don't expect them to, you know, start cutting immediately and go back to QE immediately and stop doing what they've been doing. You know, we've talked about how if they just stop right here and just sit here as we move forward in time, market conditions or monetary policy tightens because those loans that are now, you know, continue to get reset the further you go into time are getting reset at a higher rate. So I'm actually really curious to see what they say this week. I'm curious when they talk, if they strictly talk about markets or if they bring geopolitics into it, because that's such a wild card that, you know, my guess is that they will continue to say we are data dependent. But I think what you got to remember is that data dependent doesn't just necessarily mean financial data. You know, if we have, extended geopolitical conflicts in the Middle East, that will more than likely affect Fed policy.
Yeah. And again, as I shared on the schedule there, we do have a number of financial sector earnings. What's interesting about that is I don't think we've really see it fully baked in yet, but commercial loan growth is down significantly. And obviously the ongoing story, when you do have Fed policy that is higher for longer, you continually have these deposit outflows chasing yield and money market funds and government bonds. So that banking sector, maybe just not yet, hasn't really felt the full pinch of that. But, you know, the Fed does have the BTFP, the Bank Term Funding Program, which is, you know, giving banks liquidity in this environment. It's still, I think it hit a new record high this week, but it's been relatively stable. It's you know, a lifeline for banks that are experiencing this deposit outflow at the same time that their bond holdings are getting crushed. So, yeah, I mean, you do have this geopolitical risk. You do have the Fed trying to do the dance that they're always trying to do. But at the same time, this is a slow-moving target. And it'll be interesting to see how earnings continue to perform in the banking sector, knowing that slowly underneath, it seems to be kind of coming apart at the seams.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think Tesla's a big thing because Tesla, it's such a zeitgeist. I always get in trouble for saying that wrong. It's such a zeitgeist stock, right? Like Elon Musk is such a loved and hated figure, right? That I kind of feel like what goes on with the Twitter and Tesla and SpaceX, even if it doesn't mean that much for the broader economy from a psychological perspective, I think it plays into it. And I think Tesla's seen its high for the year. I don't know if they're going to beat earnings or miss earnings this week, but I expect between now and the year end of the year that Tesla's going to trade off, and it could trade off fairly significantly because it had a big run in the first part of the year. So I don't know. We'll see, and we're going to find out if I'm right or not. It won't be too long.
Yeah, we always emphasize here that no one has a crystal ball. A lot of what we're talking about partly is to get our own heads around the narrative, to break it down for everybody and bring you along in the conversation and our thought process. But it's always fun when I can, you know, yank out a prediction from you, even if it's just a fun one on Tesla. So we'll see what happens there. We'll see what happens. We appreciate everybody joining us, hanging there. It should be another wild, bumpy ride this week. We'll see what the market gives us. Maybe we'll be back midweek or at the end of the week with an update. If you haven't already, please go ahead and check out our weekend episode. I think you'll definitely get additional value there that'll help you tackle the week ahead. If you want to follow Brent on Twitter, you can do that, Santiago AU Fund. You can follow me at John Kutsmita. We've got the same handle for this podcast on both YouTube and Twitter, which is Milkshakes Pod. And if you're curious and you want to practice your Spanish, or maybe you speak Spanish and you just want to hear us with our Spanish accents, go check out Milkshakes Pod. Espanol is the handle there, and let us know what you think about that new channel. All right, everybody, we appreciate it. Have a great week. This show is provided for entertainment and informational purposes only. It should not be relied upon as legal, business, investment, or tax advice. Neither the hosts, guests, nor any funds they may manage intends to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.